Father, as we come today, we know that you have great designs for your children. You have caused us to be born again by the word of the living God. You have done a transformation in us by your Holy Spirit. And we walk with you daily. We walk in the light of your word. We walk in the light of your presence. And it is your desire that we be freed from anything individually or collectively that would hold us back in seeing your glory more fully, that would hold us back from understanding in an even greater way just how long and how wide and how deep and how tall is your love for us. And so today as we come, Lord, we acknowledge our weakness and we acknowledge that we are not able to do these things. And yet we acknowledge that these are your will for us. And we also acknowledge that you are able to work these things in us. And indeed you will as we truly submit to you and seek your face. So we pray today, give us the heart for this. Give us the desire for this. Give us an earnest and burning desire for this. Even as the psalmist wrote, that as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. So, Lord, give us that desire, we pray, and we know that you will supply the rest. So just teach us today, and, Lord, just let us know that there's a whole lot more that awaits us. Now take your word and use it in our hearts today, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you are among those who like to fill in the blanks, take the notes, have something to take home, now would be the time to get those. Yes, Paul has prayers for the Ephesian believers. If you want to, you can go to the book of Acts. If you want to bone up on the story of the church at Ephesus, they were turbulent times, but they were times of a great moving of God. And people came and burned their books there on the occult there in the town square, a great big bonfire of books worth many, many thousands of dollars. And there were some riots because the gospel was being so successful. And some other things. And it says that God worked special miracles through Paul during the time he was at Ephesus. And many, many people were healed and many, many people were delivered. And there were many, many wonderful things going on. And of course, now later on, he is writing to the Ephesians. And I don't know how recently you've read the book of Ephesians, but just to give you a real basic little type of outline here. After his greeting there at the beginning of chapter 1 and from verses 3 down through verses 14, Paul is telling us who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he prays his first prayer of thanksgiving for them in the second half of the first chapter. Then in chapter 2 and the first half or so of chapter 3, he is telling us what things the Lord has done for us up to this point, what he has already done in us. And then in this little passage from verses 14 to 21, then he has his next prayer for the believers. And then in chapter 4, he begins to get in the first verses there into what God's will and plan is for the church, not meaning any particular congregation, but each and every congregation of believers. And then from there, he gets on into issues of light and darkness and living as believers and concludes then, when he gets over into chapter 6, with the famous passage on spiritual warfare and on the need for us to be clothed with the full armor of God. So he prays. You know, what does he pray for the Ephesian believers? Well, he's praying for them that they would move ahead in their walk with God, that they would not be content with what they have up until that time, even in their understanding. Maybe we've been serving the Lord a long time. Maybe we've been in a lot of Sunday school classes, a lot of Bible studies, heard a lot of preaching, but there is still a whole lot that we can learn from the Word of God. And a lot of his emphasis here, as we're going to see, is on the eyes of our heart being enlightened. Because no matter how long we've been under the message of the gospel, well, our hearts can get hardened to it. We can get, well, I've heard that before. And we fail. You know, the Holy Spirit, each time we come to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit needs to be shedding light on that. I don't know if it's on my current program or not, but I used to have a little program on the computer when it was doing a search, and you would hit search because you couldn't remember where that file or where that document was. How many have done that? And the thing that I loved was that once you hit search, a little flashlight would come on and would be doing like this, and it would be throwing light on the subject. How many remember CSI? It didn't matter if the sun was coming in the window. They always had their flashlight. Do you remember that? Barbara and I used to laugh about that. Always got to have the flashlight. But every time we come to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has got to activate that to us. Because otherwise, it's just dry truth. That's all it is. It's not really doing anything in us. And so Paul is praying and saying, Lord, open the eyes of the heart. We have a more modern song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Is there a song that has that line in it? That's probably based on this prayer here in 3, where he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. And so today, that's what we're talking about, and that's what Paul is talking about. And he's talking about that inner life being reinforced. We're going to talk a little bit more, a little bit later, about the importance of that inner life, because it really is important. There are people who say, well, I'm not in all that inner stuff. I believe in action. I believe in doing. But we're gonna see that the inner life, the outer life for a believer actually springs from the inner life, and it is extremely important. And so as Paul prays for the Ephesian believers, there are many, many things, I guess, that he could have prayed for them, but these are the things that he is praying for them. So let's just go back and kind of list them again. This isn't comprehensive, but I think it gets the gist of these two prayers. Number one, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and I would say by extension to any believer. If we're a believer, God has one will and one purpose for us, and that is that we would grow in him, that we would increase in our knowledge of him. And by the way, when it says knowledge, it's not talking about head knowledge. It's talking about experiential knowledge of God. We have those three things for our church: knowing, growing, and going. So the knowing isn't just being able, say, to quote Scripture, or to be able to say the way of salvation, or to know what the doctrinal points are. Knowing is relationship as well. I can know a whole lot about a lot of people. I know some things that I hear about some of our government officials and things like that in Washington, D.C. and in Richmond. And I can tell you quite a few facts about them from what I hear, but I don't personally know any of them. And so when we say knowing, and when he says knowing, this is gnosko. This isn't oida, just knowing it in your mind. This is experiential. So bear that in mind. Number one, that they would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning the things of God. Now that's reducing it down a little bit, but that's basically what it comes down to. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. So he's saying, I'm praying that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Revelation, apocalypsis. It means to take the lid off of something. That's what it means. And to take the lid off so that you can see it. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. He says, I'm praying, I'm bowing my knees before the Father. He's writing to people that are already believers, already saved, and already have the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, I'm praying that God would give you, the Greek didomai, which means to give, grant, or bestow. It's just your general word for give. You don't have it unless it's been given. You don't have it unless it's received. Something that is given has a source, and it comes from a source, and it is received. It is not something you already have or inherently have within yourself. That God would give you, that God, I'm praying that you who are already believers, that God would give you. If he doesn't give it, you're not going to have it, because this type of thing only comes from him. You can't get it at Kmart. You can't get it at Target. You can't get it at Hobby Lobby. You can't get it at any of those places. You can only get it from him. You can't get it just from religious activity. You can only get it from him. And so he's saying, I'm praying that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Revelation means the lid is taken off. Something that has been hiding, something is removed so that you can see it. We are not able to see these things until the Lord opens our eyes to them, as it says here, our eyes being enlightened, and until whatever is hiding it from you. The truth of God is complete in his word. Each of us, each and every day, are discovering new truths from the word of God. But let me ask you something. Are they new? No, they're not new. They're as old as God himself. How old is he? So there's nothing new about them. But they're new because we are discovering them. How many love to see your little 2 and 3 year old children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, or great great grandchildren, their first Christmas morning that they're really aware around 2, 3, 4 years old? How many of you love to see their reactions? Now, you're maybe my age, or maybe not quite my age. You've seen this over and over and over and over, but they're experiencing it what? For the first time. It's a wonder. It's a whole new world. There isn't anything that any of us can know or experience in God that somebody else hasn't already known or experienced. But for us, it's new. And it doesn't, and it has to happen for each individual. I know how much 2 plus 2 is. But the average 18-month-old does not know what 2 plus 2 is. They're going to find out. Each of us have to learn it for ourselves. Why do our children go through 12 grades and then maybe possibly, if possible, to college? Because they've got to get it for themselves. I can't just hook up an IV to them and put it into them. And that's the way the truth of God is. And so each of us are at a little bit different place in our Christian walk. But wherever we are, there is more. It is never, there is never any time that anybody, I mean, my goodness, think of how vast the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans are. Can you take those and put them in a jar? Can you go down to Virginia Beach down there and take your bottle and fill it up and say, I've got the ocean in this jar. You've got a little bit of the ocean in this jar. And if you walked back down there every day and filled a bottle, would you ever empty the ocean? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. It is inexhaustible. There is no way to exhaust it. If we begin to get the least bit comfortable and feel like, well, I've been to seminary and I've done this and I've done that and I've been and I know all this, hey, what a deception. And no matter how much God has taught me, he's always got something new he wants to show me. Now let me show you this. You've learned this. Now let me show you this. You've learned this. Now let me show you this. And that process needs to be going on in every believer, whether we are 22 or 92. Have we started preaching yet? Number two. Paul is praying for them to be strengthened in the inner man through God's Spirit. And that is the only way you can be strengthened in the inner man, is through God's Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. Only He can strengthen me in the inner man. The inner man is the part that you don't see. How many have ever been to the Sea of Galilee? We got anybody? We got one. And I think Bennett, if he was here, I think he's been up there. I've never been. I've seen pictures of it. The Sea of Galilee is teeming with life. It was teeming with life in Jesus' day. It is teeming with life. And it flows into the Jordan River. And it works its way all the way down like this, all the way to the bottom of the land of Israel. And then it empties into the Dead Sea, which then by evaporation never fills up. Did you know that all of that life that is in the Sea of Galilee? And did you know that all of that wonderful farming and vegetation that you have on either side of the Jordan River, from the irrigation that comes from the water of the river which comes from the Sea of Galilee? Did you know that the Sea of Galilee is fed by enormous underground springs? And you do not see them. But if those springs were to stop, the Jordan River would quickly empty, and so would the Sea of Galilee, and it would all just dry up in a matter of days. It is because there are springs that are deep down, that are hidden from human view. That is why there is life. That is why it is teeming. How important is the inner man? When we go to the doctor, "Doctor, I'm not feeling well." How many have seen a stethoscope? Let's listen here. Now let's do an MRI. Now let's do a CAT scan. If I had time, I'd tell you a joke on that, but I don't. But I check this and check that. Tommy Sullivan told it to us about 2 weeks ago. He's listening to what's going on inside. Did you know that when that doctor is listening to what's going on inside, that he's really only listening to what is also part of your outer man? And the inner man, that is the part that connects with God. When you die, your spirit's leaving that body. And what's left behind is going to be in that casket. That is not you. And the part that leaves that body is the part that knows God. How many believe we're going to be with Jesus? To be absent from the body is to be? Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Then I will know as I am known, and I won't even be in my physical body. That is the inner man. That is the part that is saved. That is the part that God is working on continuously. That is the part that He wants us to be strengthened in. The outer man, but I have it at the top, though the outer man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And that is what is supposed to be happening. No matter how weak, how many here have an occasional ache or pain? Ah! No, really, folks. But you know, some of you arrive here on Sunday morning, you got a cane now. Some of you have a little bit of what Tennessee Ernie Ford said to Lucille Ball. He said, "You've got quite a hitch in your get along." No. All that is going to be gone. If we spent half the time ministering to and caring for our inner man as we do that outer man, I have a feeling we'd be a lot more healthy. Now, which part is God the most interested in? The inner man. Now, that's not to say he's not interested in the other, and we pray for God to heal people, and I believe in healing, and I believe he does that. But the inner man, that's what God. He's not so interested in this outer stuff. I want to know what's going on the inside. Because even the outer workings of what is inside, that is what determines our effectiveness for the Lord. And that is what determines whether what we're doing today will burn up when it is put to the fire, or if it will survive the fire and there'll be a reward. Even the what we call the outer workings. Because without that in the inner man, if we're just attending church, and you can do all kinds of activities and be busy and be doing stuff, even religious stuff. But if the inner man isn't like it's supposed to be, tell you what, we wouldn't like what we see if it were put up to a mirror. He prays for them to be strengthened in the inner man through God's Holy Spirit. Number three, that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. Number four, that they would be rooted and grounded in love. We occasionally have something that comes through the area called a hurricane. And some people live in mobile homes. And if you live in a mobile home and you're in hurricane territory, the least that you can do is run those cables, thick, heavy cables, over your mobile home, pour some cement way down into the ground with some real, real good anchors, and get that thing rooted and get that thing grounded. Because I guarantee you one thing. Anything that isn't rooted and isn't grounded, what's going to happen to it when the storm comes? Huh? It'll blow away, right? That's why Jesus told the story of the foundation. He said, everybody that hears these words, doesn't act on them, is building on the sand. When the storm comes, the house is going to fall. But those who hear what I say and are actually doing it, they're getting rooted and grounded. They're like the man who dug deep into the rock and provided a firm foundation. So then when the storm came, the structure was secure. He says, I want you to be rooted and grounded in... You have up and downs in your spiritual life. You're not rooted and grounded. All right. Look that up. In almost every church that Paul writes to, I want you to be rooted and I want you to be grounded. I want you to be rooted and I want you to be grounded. Now, once you're rooted and once you're grounded, then you can still grow. You know, you can put the twin towers on. But you need to be rooted. And you need to be grounded. And I want you to be rooted and grounded in what? In love. What love? Well, agape love. His love. His love, our love for him, his love for us, and our love for each other as believers. Rooted and grounded in love. And I want Christ to be dwelling. To dwell is to live permanently. Somebody said to me this morning, this is good camping weather. And it probably is, and camping is fun. But it's not a permanent dwelling. That Christ, do you want him to come and camp, or do you want him to dwell? They say, what's your address? I live at 1115 Virginia Avenue. Just yesterday. That's still your address? Yep, that's still my address. That's still your phone number? That's still my phone number. You know why? I dwell there. That Christ would dwell in your what? Heart. By faith. All of this is internal. Now here's the common denominators to all this. It's all supernatural in the sense that only God can do it. It's all done by His Holy Spirit. And it's all done in the inner man. All of this. Faith is the realm of the inner man, not your mind, not your brain. Your brain will question everything. Argue. Your brain will argue. Your brain wants logic. Your brain wants it to make sense. Are you hearing me? And when God says, this is the way it is, that's His truth. It's not that there is a spiritual wisdom, but it's not to be reasoned the way we reason. It's to be accepted by what? By faith. The Happy Goodmans used to sing a song. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word will not lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. And to read it and to receive it. Now, does that mean we should never have a question? Of course we can ask questions and all that. But I'm just saying, faith is the realm of the inner man. And agape love, that's the realm of the inner man. And that is something supernatural. And that is something that God does and only God does. And He does it in the inner man. Either we have it or we don't have it. But if we have it, we got it from Him and He did it in the inner man. Will it have outer manifestations? Yes, it will. But its source is where? From inside. Number five, that they would be given comprehension of the unfathomable. Isn't that an amazing prayer? I want God to give you comprehension of what cannot be fathomed. Strengthen the inner man through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the power, meaning ability, to comprehend with all the saints, not just one or two of you or some privileged class, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. The length, the width, the depth, and the height. Now, let me ask you, how wide is His love? If you start right here and go that direction, how far would you have to go to get to the boundary of His love? 20 feet? 20 miles? How about 20 million miles? I don't think you'll never get there, because the answer is, okay, how about how deep is it? We start right here and we start going straight down. How far do we dig? 20 feet? 200 feet? 2,000 feet? Keep on going. You'll never get to the bottom of it. Now, up. We start going up. How far up would you have to go to get to the outer boundary of God's love? The answer is, you'll never reach it. And yet He says, I'm asking God to give you to be able to comprehend with all saints, which, by the way, just means those who love the Lord and have been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, set apart for His purposes, what is the length, the width, the depth, the height. Oh, Now, hang in here with me just a minute. Listen to this. And to know, there's that word gnosko, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. I want you to know what surpasses knowledge. That's impossible. Like Jesus said of one thing to the disciple. Well, he said, yeah, for man, that is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. But that's what he's saying. So, number six, that they would come to know and experience the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge. And then in conclusion, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. This whole book is about superlatives. Words like surpassing, words like abundant, words like full, the full stature and the full measure. This whole book is about that. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Or some translations say, to the full. And that is God's will. That is God's desire for us. The most important work that God does in all of us is the work he does on the inside. And he does it by his Holy Spirit, he does it by his word, and he does it by the dwelling of Christ in that heart, and the outpouring of love, and it is for all saints, it is for all believers, it is for you, and it is for me, and he wants us to experience it to the full. Not just a little bit of it. He wants us to experience a whole bunch of it. And when the inside man is like he's supposed to be, everything else is going to take care of itself. The outer man will take care of itself. Relationships, you can't dictate other people's reactions or what they think, but in general, your relationships will be good because the inner man is where he's supposed to be. Therefore, you'll be relating as you should to those around you. And we could just go on and on and on. You won't be doing impulse buying. Why did I say that? Start getting personal. Because the inner man will be where he's supposed to be. Somebody mentioned in the Sunday school class going to the refrigerator for ice cream when maybe we shouldn't. If the inner man's where he's supposed to be, you'll turn around. When the inner man is where he's supposed to be, then everything else is going to flow from that. And are we there? No. We'll never probably be there all the way, not in this life. But I will say this, and I'm just going to read my own personal notes here in closing. We settle for so little. I'm talking about in the spiritual. There are people out there, I want everything that's coming to me. If you want everything that's coming to you, see Lowell the Hammer Stanley. But we don't have that same enthusiasm for the inner things of God. So we settle for so little. There is yet so much to be known, so much to be understood and experienced in God. We have but scratched the surface. And that is true of every one of us here today, including this, your servant. Second note, the revelation and comprehension come from him through spiritual understanding, and can only be supernaturally imparted. I can't get this out of a book. I may be able to read a book that can give me some pointers or something, but this comes from him, that he may give you, in both prayers, Paul repeats this, that he may give you. And in prayer number two, that he may give you. And lastly, it is not the outer man that needs to be strengthened and enhanced. It is the inner man. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come just to save us. He certainly did, and we're going to be commemorating that this morning. But he came that we might have an eternity-long adventure of learning more of him. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today. We know, Lord, how we are in ourselves, and that we can't do any little bit of this on our own. And yet we know that you have great plans for us as your people. You don't have one set of plans for believers in Chesapeake and another for believers in Japan and another for believers on Taliabu Island. Lord, your desire is that we would all be strengthened in the inner man. Your desire is that Christ would be dwelling in each of our hearts by faith. Your desire is that we would all be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and the width and the depth of the height, and that we would all come to know and experience the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. And that we would each and every one be filled with all the fullness of God. So today you've begun your work in us, Lord. And we just pray today now that your work will continue. And that every day we would be a little bit stronger than the day before. Strengthened by your Holy Spirit. That each day we would understand a little bit more. Also enlightened by your Holy Spirit, and that in that and out of that abundance then we would be able to give to others and give freely. You said freely you have received, freely give. That's our prayer today. Come and meet us at our point of need. And if we can't understand it all right now, at least open our eyes to see that there is a need. We ask these things in Jesus' name.